Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 2 of The Shay Show, the podcast that I talk a lot about random things. This is going to be kind of a solo episode today. Also, if you see me looking at my other monitors, just so I can fidget around in Rocket League while I talk to you guys. Yeah, I wanted to continue this podcast. I'm going to. But let's just see where it goes. I was planning to do stuff about life, but that seems to not be the case, as this is the second episode I'm doing ever. It'll probably be where I do most of my school projects for podcasts and stuff like that. So you'll get more episodes with guests, definitely. I did want to kind of do an episode of like what this would be about, but I had to kind of get my school project done first. So I guess this is kind of what this episode is about, talking about what this podcast is about. And I think it was kind of so it'll be anything from just kind of me talking about life to things that God's been teaching me recently, to life experiences, to school projects, and talking about things like episode 1, which was talking about ministry and what it looks like to be a leader in ministry, I guess. I kind of forget what the episode was about. It was recorded so long ago. And by long ago, I mean like 4 months ago. So yeah. with that being said, there were two topics I kind of wanted to talk about that recently came up in the summer. I think the next episode, by the way, this is the other thing I wanted to say. The next episode will most likely be, I might be back at school. I probably will be back at school by this point. But it'll be talking about what I've learned during my internship that I'm taking right now. I'm currently a youth intern at my home church. Yeah, I think that'll be what the next episode is, me learning about kind of the hidden things about ministry and hidden my ministry, I guess, experience about being an intern and what I've learned. So with that being said, episode 2, there are two main topics I wanted to talk about. One has been kind of, I guess, it was really just in last month, the month of June, and this one, I guess, is the month of July. It's mainly July going into August. But there are two things that I kind of wanted to talk about, at least from a Christian perspective, that I think I need to emphasize to more Christians, and what I kind of just wanted to talk about. With that being said, I should just stop yapping about what I want to talk about and start talking about it. So in June, I don't remember when it was, but I'm going to put up the clip. I saw this randomly on my YouTube feed.
A violent riot broke out at a worship service in Seattle, and it's catching headlines all around the world.
So as you guys just saw there, it was a clip of, I think, Seattle. There was like a riots and stuff happening between the LGBTQ community and Christians at a worship event, I think it was. And that really shocked me, but at the same time, this was like the first time like stuff like this was making news. And of course it was making news because it was in June, which, if you guys don't know, June is considered to be Pride Month, for the LGBTQ plus, I don't know what else community. But it's very, I don't know how to describe it. It's very interesting. And I got kind of annoyed at this video because, or not the video, but I kind of just got saddened by the whole, like, Christians going after LGBTQ and LGBTQ people going after Christians, even though that kind of makes sense in my opinion, because Christians haven't been the nicest to the LGBTQ community. But it made me want to do a spontaneous kind of Instagram video, and I don't know if I'll put up a clip of it. If I do, it'll be right now. But if not, you can go watch that on my YouTube, which this will be on, and my Instagram, which is the shortened version, or TikTok, I guess, technically. I don't know. All other social medias. But it was basically me talking about how, since it's Pride Month, Christians need to be loving, but also don't tell, you know, believers if they're gay or, like, being gay is a sin or not. Which I expect, it didn't, so compared to the one I did last year, talking about why, like, athletes and celebrities are talking more and more about faith, that the LGBTQ or June Pride Month video where we need to be more loving did not blow up like the athletes video. It got, I think, a combined maybe 1,000 views compared to the other video, which got, I think, close to like 10,000. I know it at least got 5,000, 6,000 on Instagram alone. But the video got, to which I expected, more hate comments than positive comments from Christians, because it's a kind of a controversial video, even though, in my opinion, it really shouldn't be, because the main thing I wanted to emphasize in that video, and I talked about it, is not that, like, we need to focus on the person and not what we call the quote-unquote sin. And I guess since this is my podcast, I can go a little more in-depth, but I hate talking about my opinion. Like, it's hard to say that being gay is not a sin. And the reason I, like, hate talking about my opinion is because that word sin is just used as such a negative connotation, and, like, as it should be in some ways, because it's what separates us from God. But it's hard to talk about when you want to be inclusive to a community that's been oppressed and doesn't understand why it's a sin. Like, they hear it's a it's in the Bible, and because it's in the Bible, that means it's wrong. But they don't care about what the Bible says. I talked about it in a sermon recently, but telling a non-believer, hey, this is wrong because it's in the Bible, that doesn't mean anything to them. I say it this way. If someone is playing soccer and I'm playing basketball, I'm not going to go tell the soccer player to start picking up the soccer ball and dribbling it, because they're not playing by the same rules as I do. And we need to remember that as Christians, that, like, not other people play by the same standards of life or the same rules as we do. And just because we know what's right, but they don't, the only way we can tell them that, like, hey, what they're doing is wrong, is if they're playing by our sport. And you can't just tell someone to play, like, playing soccer to start playing by basketball's rules without having them start to play basketball, because they just wouldn't get it, if that makes sense. But my main thing with that video was to try to get Christians to understand that, like, the LGBTQ community doesn't necessarily care. How do I explain this? The way that we bring LGBTQ community to Jesus is not by convincing them that they're a sinner. While that's an important part of the salvation message, I think it's more important to love the person and to show them Jesus's love rather than calling someone out for their sin. There's the passage in the New Testament in the Gospels of the parable, or I don't know if it's a parable, I forget what or not, I should probably look it up right now, but I'm too lazy. The passage where, you know, take the log out of your own eye before the speck in your brother's eye. And I think that's just so important for us to Christians as to remember, because, like, why do we care so much about pointing out something that sometimes isn't a choice? And I know that's a controversial opinion in the Christian community, but I've learned more and more that, like, being gay, I've heard it this way, and I think this is the way to describe it. Being trans is different than being gay. I think it's hard for me to argue being trans is not, like, in my opinion, if you say personally that you're a woman trapped inside of a man's body, I think personally you're going against what God created you to be, and it's hard for me to describe that. But being gay, which is liking the same sex, can be looked at as, like, a foot fetish. That sounds weird, but the way that foot fetishes work, the part that is it that you are, like, the things that you're attracted to right next to, like, genitalia, I've heard, is feet. And foot fetishes occur because of an overlap in the brain that then, like, instead of being attracted to genitalia, you're attracted to feet. And I've heard it similar to, like, being gay is like that, where you're supposed to be attracted to the opposite sex, but instead there's an overlap, and, like, I don't know what to call it, like a brain mishap, I guess. I don't know. Like, something went wrong in the brain, and there's an overlap, and now you like the same sex. There is a friend from... And the, I think the thing that made me believe this the most was there was a friend at my boy Elias's college. He goes to Gordon College, and he has a friend that's openly gay, but is also... He's very Christian, but he's gay. And they asked him at one point, like, okay, you're openly gay, but you're also a Christian. So, like, what? Why are you gay? And he's like, or it's like, what does being gay mean? He's like, that just means I just how you guys like women, I like men. And it's, I don't necessarily want to like men, but it's also God's way of saying, like, hey, I need to be single. I can't be, you know, dating anybody. I'm supposed to be single, and I'm just, you know, I just like men. And that's just how, you know, just like sin enters the world through, I would say, like, pure evil acts. Sin can enter, you know, us in the brain like that, if you want to look at it from that perspective. But with that being said, now, like, going past, I think, the whole entire, like, I don't know how long this podcast is going to go for, by the way. I'm just kind of, like, vibing randomly and rambling. But the whole idea of being a Christian, I like the verse John 13:35, your love to one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. It's not by, you know, us screaming and preaching the loudest. It's about how we love one another. And I don't think anybody is going to want to come to Christianity because somebody is telling the other person that what they're doing is wrong. Nobody likes the police because of them giving speeding tickets. Like, we all agree, yes, it's good. But if you want to show that the police are good people, showing them that, like, giving speeding tickets is not the first thing, or people arresting people is not, like, the first thing that people go to. They show, like, they have to go past that narrative and show, like, hey, cops are really nice. They are forgiving a decent amount of time. Like, there's a couple of videos where it's like, there's one video I know. This guy is taking a motorcycle and he's, like, cruising at, like, 100 miles an hour. Gets pulled over and he's like, I don't know why I do that. I did that. It's really stupid. And then the cop's like, yeah. And he's like, I'm a single father right now. Can you cut me a little bit of slack? Because I don't know if I have the financial things to afford a ticket. And he's like, it's 100 miles an hour. I'll see what I can do. And the guy is like, look, man, don't do this again. But I'm going to give you some grace and, you know, won't give you a ticket. I'm just giving you a warning. And that, I think, shows, like, how nice cops are compared to doing the quote-unquote good thing or doing the right thing, which is giving the guy a speeding ticket. That would have been looked at as, like, unfortunately, he's doing the right thing, but he's not going to be looked at as a super, super good person. He's looked at as a super, super good person because of him giving grace to the single father who probably can't afford the ticket. And I think in that way, we can look at Christianity similar, which is just because we may say it's the right thing and it is important to acknowledge sin, that doesn't mean it's the best way to represent being a Christian. And if our goal is what Matthew 28 tells us, which is go and make disciples of all nations, it's going to be much easier to make disciples of all nations by showing them love and showing them, like, why we act different. It's because of, you know, this Jesus who's given us so much grace, so we give grace to others. Instead of pointing out, well, Jesus came and died for me for this reason, so you need to accept that you are also a sinner, and pointing out your sin. This is what you're doing wrong, and you need to be right. Because then it's just, I don't know, the other way just seems more appealing to me, and I don't know how to describe it. I don't know really how to put out my thoughts. I'm going to reread out my script real quick to kind of just get an idea of what I'm trying to say, but this whole comprehensive, like, podcast, it's not, there's no comprehensive idea behind this podcast. It's just kind of me talking right now. This episode is just kind of me talking and just saying what has been on my mind and what has been emphasized to me in this summer. Jesus called the Pharisees out on their sin, but that's because what the Pharisees were doing was playing their own God. They were misusing scripture, they were oppressing others, and just being like, hey, we know scripture, so what you're doing is wrong. And that's why Jesus called the Pharisees out on their sin, is for misusing scripture. And I think in the same way we as Christians do that when we try to justify why we're telling other people, you know, why their sin is wrong. We're not doing it for a good, a justifiable, loving reason. We're kind of just doing it to do it, I feel like, at times. We're not doing it out of love. We're, when we tell someone that what they're doing is a sin, I feel like most of the time we're not doing it in a loving way. We're just doing it to get something out of it. We're telling, like, hey, in some ways it'll make us feel better. We'd be like, hey, you're sinning. And in our minds, we're like, we need to tell you that you're a sinner and kind of ignore that, like, oh, yeah, no, I know I'm a sinner. But I have Jesus. So that makes me better than you right now. And in reality, they are no different than we are. We cannot be the one doing the saving. Only Jesus can. So by pointing out someone else's sin, it's not going to do anything. They're not going to magically be like, I understand, I'm going to be a Christian now. No, if anything, you have to show them why Jesus loves them and how Jesus loves them. Your actions speak much louder than your words. So if you're showing the love of Christ by giving them unconditional love, treating them differently, giving them unconditional grace, they're going to ask more questions about why we act that way rather than why do you always, you know, treat me differently because I'm gay and you hate me for this. Like, no LGBTQ person is going to want to become a Christian by seeing other Christians yelling at their community and telling them what they're doing is wrong because they don't understand it. And I wish I could just, like, this would click in somebody's head, but I'm ranting at a camera and I have no idea if this makes sense in anybody's head. It makes so much sense to me, but obviously I can tell it doesn't make much sense to Christians because Christians are still yelling at gays that they're a sinner. We have all fallen short of the glory of God, and we forget that every single day. Yeah, the thing I said most in the video that I really liked was we often tell someone, be the reason somebody knows Christ today. But also, we need to emphasize that don't be the reason somebody refuses Christ today. It's so much easier for someone to refuse Christ than to accept Christ. I mean, and if you want, like, evidence of that, technically, while, yes, Christianity is, I think, like, a seventh of the world, that's still not the majority of the world. The majority of the world are not Christians. Yeah. Jesus sat and ate with prostitutes and tax collectors, people that Christians were like, Jews at the time, why would you ever hang out with those people? Not saying that we need to go and, you know, be part of that community. Or, you know, but we just need to be, or, like, even telling them what they're doing is good. We just need to love them like Jesus would. I want to play the pod. There might, it's going to take me so long to edit this, but I don't care. I want to pull the podcast clip of what Lance said last podcast about when he had an LGBTQ student in the youth group.
We have a student who came in who's transgender, and they were very hesitant about, like, am I going to be accepted here? Mm-hmm. And what I did, I went up and I met them, high-fived them, and said, hey, I'm glad you're here, and went on with the ministry night. And then, like, they were asking, like, hey, am I welcome here? Like, why in the world wouldn't you be welcome here? And they said, well, I was not welcomed at other places. Like, we were, like, the fourth youth group that they tried. And I was like, listen, I don't know what your past was like in experiences, but, like, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to talk about Jesus, and I'm thrilled that you're here. You know, and, like, there's not one student here that isn't struggling with something, you know, and that was, like, one of the first interactions I had with that student. And then we went on with the night and we had a great night. And I even remember praying, like, Lord, let us get more students that are questioning things about their life. Mm-hmm. So at one point we had something, I don't remember the exact number, but we had, like, three or four transgender students.
Oh, wow.
One who was claimed that they're asexual. We had students that were bi, students that were openly gay, And it was like this, like there was a lot of different lifestyles that were in our youth group. And not once did I get like nervous about it. Mm-hmm. Not once did I think like, oh, they shouldn't be here. It was like, yeah, this is where they should be. This is where they should feel comfortable. And not once did I get up there and say like, hey, the way that you are is absolutely fine. When I got up there and I talked to every student, I was like, hey, this is for everybody. Like Jesus doesn't want to leave you where you're at. He wants to bring you closer to him. I got this great advice years ago that there was a kid in our youth ministry who was smoking weed all the time. And this was before weed was legal. But he was like coming to youth group high, right? Like he was like more than medicinal, right? And some of the people at our church are like, you have to tell him if he smokes, he cannot come to church. And I was like, I won't do it. I was like, he's not smoking at church. What he's doing is he's smoking before and then he's coming to youth group. And I was like, it's not what we want. But if I tell him he can't do that, I will never see this kid again. And the mentality is like when you first plant a flower and it starts growing, there's weeds that grow up with it naturally. And if as soon as you see a weed, if you just pull the weed out, you're going to pull the flower roots out as well. Hmm. And like the whole flower will die because the whole thing is going to come out. But if you let the flower grow until it's strong enough to support itself, and then you pull the weeds out, the flower doesn't even notice. So what I decided was I'm going to pour into this kid. I'm going to keep inviting him to things. I'm going to hang out with him one-on-one and talk about Jesus every single time. And we would do like campfires together. We went on a ski trip together. Like we had just a really good time just being together, always talking about how he's doing spiritually. And eventually what happened was he started coming to youth group normal without smoking. And then he still would smoke, but never back at church. And then eventually he stopped smoking. And he's like, yeah, it just doesn't fit like who I am anymore. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, this is crazy. But I was like, oh, that's great. Like, and eventually, one of the coolest things is now that kid that I'm referring to, he now works at a church. Ah. And I'm like, dude, how cool is that? Because he told me later, he's like, dude, if you would have just like condemned me, I never would have stayed. Hmm. And he's like, but you kept wanting me around. And I was like changing on my own. Because of Jesus. But like, if I would have just condemned him and said, you can't do this, you can't be here, like, you're going to lose the kid. Mm. But like, same with any kid of like an alternate lifestyle. Because like, my goal isn't to like make someone not transgender anymore. Like, that sounds crazy to me. My goal is to talk about Jesus so much and let Jesus work in all of us, you know? So that I find it worked real, like, one of the best ways. And then the pressure's off, right? Because it's not like Lance couldn't fix them in any context, whether they're addicted to some sin or whatever. It's like, no. All I did was I talked about Jesus so much that they started listening.
Yeah, that is great. Like Lance said, not once did he ever tell that kid that what he was doing was okay. But he also never neglected him or treated him differently because of what he was doing. It's hard because we want to just be like, hey, you're doing this wrong. Because for some reason, as Christians, we think that we get to play God since we know God. Just because we have Jesus in him and we're Jesus' creation doesn't mean that we are Jesus. We're still the ones being saved by Jesus. So that was what I really wanted to emphasize in June and what I kind of emphasized also in July and what I want to emphasize to the track team, honestly, because being more accepting of one another, because it's just so hard to sometimes like be even me, because I have this controversial opinion that we need to be, you know, loving to gays and that we shouldn't call them out on their sin, and that for some reason makes me a bad Christian, for some reason that makes me, you know, all these certain things, and it's dumb. And that's why sometimes like I hate Christians just arguing with each other, because it's just over dumb crap, and all we need to do is just be like Jesus and love one another. How did Jesus, you know, treat prostitutes and tax collectors? We treat them like that, you know. Where's the woman that got caught in adultery? I think we need to bring that passage up, you know. When it's like, what should we do? Stone this woman. All right, let the person who has not sinned throw the first stone. Nobody can. I can't honestly think of what I'm trying to say in this, like, segment I know what I want to try to say in the sense of, like, look, we need to show the love of Christ more to non-believers than we do believers because they don't understand the Bible. Just because we can say, like, hey, the Bible says this doesn't mean jack to them. We need to show the love of Christ, not through, you know, telling them that what they're doing is wrong or what they're doing is a sin, but through actually just loving the person as a human being. You know, there's the thing of, like, you know, love the sinner, not the sin. We need to focus on, you know, why do we want to bring this person to Christ? Is it because we actually want the best for them, or are we doing it because, you know, just Jesus told us to, and we're doing it to, you know, get a couple extra bonus points? Why are we, you know, talking to others about Christ? And I think it's just better if we just show the love of Christ than trying to convince other people why our religion is better than theirs, or why they're wrong, and why they do need Jesus. And it's so hard. I don't know why people can't understand that, but it's beyond my comprehension and my level of thinking. But the second thing that I wanted to emphasize was this clip from an Instagram reel I saw, and how the comment I said on it. That's what I want to emphasize, not the content itself.
Yeah, I actually don't think anxiety and stress are the problem. I actually think the problem's in control.
So for those of you who don't know my story, it's on my Instagram, YouTube, all that stuff. My testimony, part of it is I grew up in Sandy Hook, Connecticut. I was part of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. Very traumatic experience. And my comment on that video was when someone replied to the post saying, and what about people who take anxiety meds because it's that extreme? I replied with, I guess people who go through severe trauma just need to pray it out. Because it's so dumb to me how people think, and I've had this experience at my college, people genuinely believing that mental health either doesn't exist or that it's overemphasized, which I can understand to an extent the overemphasis on. But, guys, tell me when you go, I don't want anybody to go through anything severe as that, by the way. But if you go through severe trauma, do you really think just because I have anxiety, I don't trust in God? Like, how dumb must you be, honestly? Yes, anxiety can be, you know, one of my favorite sermons was talking about how basically anxiety is sometimes from a lack of trust in God. We talk about, you know, how we use this analogy of sometimes we like to think that we're in control, that we're in a giant swimming pool on a floaty, and but in reality, we're in the middle of the ocean with a pool noodle, and we can't control most of what we're in. We can try as much as we want, but we can't control. And that's from my favorite passage, Matthew 6:25 through 31. So I understand, you know, the whole idea of, yeah, anxiety can sometimes become from a lack of trust in God. Sometimes it's all these things. But please do not say that's the only reason. And please do not, like, say that this is the main reason. Because for the people who actually have anxiety and depression, it's a joke of what you're saying. It is offensive and honestly harmful. Because the amount of times, like, people can then tell me, like, hey, I'm on meds. You don't need to take meds. You just need to pray more. You need to fast more. You need to do all this stuff. It's just so dumb. I want to play a clip. I want to play a clip or video, and I'll leave the links in the description to all these different things that I'm talking about, to cite them, and to, I don't want to look like I'm, you know, yoinking their videos, but just listen to this.
Is there ever a place for medication and the Christian as it relates to something that can help assuage our mental health issues? You know, when I was a new believer and walking with Christ, the whole idea of medication in the church was seen as taboo. It was looked at as weakness to take medication. Like, you know what? You shouldn't take medication, you know, ever. And I had this anxiety, and one of the things that I did, I remember being at Dallas Seminary, where I went with Conway Edwards. That's where I met your pastor. And the counselor said, you know, Bobby, at Dallas Seminary, he says, you need to think about medication for your anxiety. And I didn't get on the medication at that time. And I had been struggling, as I mentioned in a previous video, with anxiety my whole life. And why was that? Because some of the messages I was getting from the church is, okay, it's just spiritual warfare and you need to fight this off. And so for year after year after year, this anxiety, I just kept thinking it's only spiritual warfare. And while, yes, spiritual warfare can be a part of it, and while, yes, sin can be a contributor to anxiety, and while, yes, not trusting God can be a contributor to it, what if there's just something abnormal going on? Like when you're just constantly anxious for no reason, it's worth getting a doctor's checkup. It's like, take a look at it. And so you fast forward and I'm continuing to fight this because I never wanted to get on medication because I didn't want to be looked at as I'm being weak and I'm not willing to fight the spiritual battle and I'm not willing to do the warfare that needs to be done. But the truth of the matter is I have been going through that spiritual warfare and I have been evaluating my life and that anxiety never went away. It just laid over me like a thick blanket. It was overwhelming. And so I found myself thinking at a certain stage, you know what? I need to go see a doctor. And I went and I was prescribed an antidepressant to help me because I was steeped in depression. And I remember the doctor saying to me, you know what? Taking an antidepressant, if you're out in the middle of the lake and you're drowning, it's not like, you don't have to swim to shore still. It just makes it more doable to imagine that you can swim to shore. Because when you're drowning in depression, when you're drowning in anxiety, you feel like you're sinking. You feel like you're going to drown. You feel like you can't make it to shore. And what the antidepressant did for me is it became like a lifeboat to help me to get to shore. And it allowed me then to do some treatment and some counseling that allowed me to quit focusing on just all this unnecessary anxiety so that I could do some of the deeper work that was contributing to the anxiety. And fast forward 4 or 5 years, I got off the antidepressants and I've been off them now for, I don't know, a year or so. So they served a purpose in my life. But when I think about it, you'll hear messages from people in the church saying, oh, it's a sin to use medication. Now, I'm not a doctor. I've got 2 doctorate degrees, but I'm not a medical doctor. And I would say, if you're wondering about whether or not you should be on medication, go see a psychologist, go see a doctor, and ask for some wisdom. It should always be a last resort. You know, ask, what's causing my anxiety? Is it lack of trust in God? Is there sin in my life? Is there some external stress that's influencing it? Like, go through that perspective. But if you're just living anxious and just living depressed, go see a doctor because you might not be getting the serotonin and the dopamine that your brain needs and those healthy chemicals, those happy chemicals that can help regulate your emotions again. So I look at it like this. The person who says medication is sin in the church, I kind of picture like going to the doctor to get my eyes checked. And I imagine being at the optometrist and the doctor saying to me, hey, I want you to read row number 4. And I'm like, okay, D, Z, Q, F. And he's like, no, you butchered that. I want you to go home and fast and pray and then come back next week. And so I go home and I fast and pray that when I come back to the optometrist's office, I'm going to be able to read line 4. But I come back and he's like, no, it's just not working. You need to go fast and pray some more and then come back to the office and then we'll test your eyes again. And all along, the optometrist, he could just put some glasses on. He can give me a prescription. He can help me to see. And so we're really weird as Christians sometimes. Like, the heart is an organ and the brain's an organ. If you have high blood pressure, no one thinks anything of taking blood pressure medicine. But if you take an antidepressant to help your brain organ, then we have a problem with it. And I think we have to realize how weird we can get in the church. Not only that, imagine how many people have literally committed suicide because they didn't think that it was an option for them to take medication. And so they never turned to it. And medication could have been a resource to help them through their dark night of the soul. So all I want to do is make a case to say medication should be a last resort. But if you're desperate and you're hopeless, it might be something that you could turn to that could be a resource that could help you get yourself back to shore.
Why are we so stubborn as Christians sometimes to accept that people have mental health problems? Like, why? I don't get it. It's just, if someone wants to, you know, let me know in the comments below, let me know. And for if somebody somehow at my college watches this and you genuinely believe any of like the stuff that I, or you disagree with any of the stuff that I've been saying, come talk to me, come DM me. I'm happy to have a conversation with you about it. But like, why as Christians do we need to say mental health isn't real? Why? Like, what? I don't understand the benefit of saying mental health isn't real. I don't think anybody is using mental health as an excuse to not pray more. Just pray more. Just trust God more. Like, you don't think that we're trying to do that? You don't think that people aren't trying to do that? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Mental health is not a joke. It is real. It is, there's a reason that it's becoming more and more prevalent. It's not the world trying to, you know, like, it's so dumb. I can't even think of, like, reasons why people discredit it. Because it is just that dumb, in my opinion. It's just that dumb to just say that anxiety is not real. He said in the video, like, yes, while these all can be contributing factors, it's not the case all the time. Like, understand that sometimes when you say, just pray it out or just pray more about it, that does so much more harm than it does good. This episode became more and more scuffed by the second, in my opinion, because I had such an idea for what I wanted to say, and I really should have probably written out like a script or something or talking points, but I decided to just hit record, open up Rocket League, and just talk. Because it was just stuff that I've been passionate about recently and stuff I just need to get off my mind that, you know, the two things that I wanted to talk about, I guess, mainly are you gotta love everybody, you gotta be kind to everybody, you need to show what's more important than telling someone that they're a sinner is showing them that Jesus loves them through how you treat them. How do we know that Jesus loves us? Because of what he did for us. He could have said it all that he wanted to. If he didn't prove that he was the Son of God by dying on the cross and that's how much he loved us, no one would care. But since Jesus died on the cross, that's how we know that's how we know that he loves us. And through that way, through us loving another person, then they can be like, hey, why is this person different? Why do you show me so much love? And then that's how you can start the conversation. And yes, it takes a lot longer than, you know, just giving a sermon and being like, hey, pray this prayer, and now you're saved. But it's the more genuine way, and it's the more impactful way. And then you have to remember, the second thing I think I wanted to emphasize, which I kind of did, is remember, anxiety can be real. Anxiety and depression can be real. Don't, the phrase, you know, pray it out, just pray more. Have you started praying yet? Can be so much more harmful than you may realize. I know a bunch of times in conversations in my Christian ministries class at college, we've talked about as leaders, people telling us, hey, just pray it out, and how harmful that is when we're going through something that needs practical steps. God is the God of practicality for the God of supernaturality. He's both of those things, don't get me wrong. He's supernatural and human. But he's the God of practicality before the God of supernaturality. I don't even know if that's a word, but you know what I'm trying to say. Like, he can heal my mental illness like that. But he didn't. He's not going to for most people. He wants you to take practical steps because, you know, otherwise I think we'd use God as like a vending machine. We'd just be like, hey, God, help me fix this. Boom. Okay, sick. Now I can live my life however we want. So, with that being said, I think I'm going to wrap up the episode here. I don't know how long this episode is going to be. It's going to be definitely shorter than probably the first podcast episode. But I don't know what else to say. I've just been rambling. I've just been, you know, getting my mind, just emptying what it's been thought of in my mind, where it's just like, guys, real lies at this stuff. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. This is a scuffed episode 2. I will probably make an episode 3 on what I've learned from ministry. I will take an episode 4 maybe on my story updated. But with that being said, thank you so much for watching The Shay Show. Go out, love one another. John 13:35. Take the log out of your own eye before the speck out of your brother's. And remember that also God is the God of practicality before the God of supernaturality. Thank you guys for so enjoying this. If you enjoy this episode, tell me in the comments below. Leave a like. Maybe I'll start posting this other places than YouTube. But yeah. Peace, y'all.